had, I tell you, this church is coming alive. Have you noticed it? We had a really good turnout this morning for the early service. And the sun didn't bother to show itself, but we still had a good time. And we had a wonderful time of fellowship in Fellowship Hall with wonderful food. That's coming alive. I really think that it is, and I appreciate all the hard work that was done to bring all of this about. But the thing that we've got to recognize today is that I want to extend what I was working on last week. And we're going to look at it from a little different perspective. The truth is that there are people all over the world today that are recognizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think it is so important for us to realize Christmas is wonderful. Without Christmas, there would be no Easter. But without Easter, Christmas would not have the thought that it was. Easter is the resurrection day. And we look at that and realize, boy, this is amazing. And so today I've taken the text from 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and following. And really, all I want you to zero in on is, grave or death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? I, 30 years ago or 40 years ago when I came to Sanger, boy, I had a lot of weddings. There were weddings, and I had a wedding coordinator, and boy, we really did have a lot of good weddings. Now, I'm having a lot of funerals. It is amazing how many folk I have buried that are younger than I am and probably should have lived longer than I have. We're born to die. That's just life. And we recognize that that's a very hard thing for us to accept. But what I want you to think about, I just picked this up. These are just phrases from the song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." I like the phrase that says, "All fear is gone because I know who holds the future. Because I know who holds the future, all life is worth living just because He lives." I want to run that by you again. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face today. I can face tomorrow. I can face the next day. However many days I have left, I can face them. And you know, life isn't always easy, is it? But you look at it and you recognize, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, and all fear is gone. I saw a line that was out of commentary or a movie or something. It said, you know, the real reason we don't close the casket at a funeral, of course sometimes we do, because the price has been paid, the future has been bought, and we recognize that all fear is gone because life is worth the living just because He lives. Now, Paul puts this classic statement that we looked at just a moment ago. Death, where's your sting? Grave, and I like the translation that says, where's your victory? The grave has no victory. That's the thing that is so important for us to recognize. The grave has no victory. When Jesus comes back, He'll Just give a command and we'll all be there. And you know what? We won't have the imperfections that we have now. We won't have the problems that we have now. Life is worth the living just because he lives. And so he looked at this and noticed how he expressed this with confidence and conviction. Confidence and conviction that those who trust Jesus, they will have eternal life. And that life, when it says eternal, it means it is an eternal victory. It's victory that we can have, and it's victory over death, and it's victory over the grave. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Victory over death, victory over the grave. When you look at this and recognize that when we trust Jesus, we experience victory when we invite him into our hearts and we submit ourselves to him as Lord and Master. When we do that, life is wonderful, even when it's not. Okay? There are plenty of times that we get where we are because of what Jesus did. And it all precipitates from the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter. It is a powerful, powerful statement. And the amazing thing is that you notice there'll be a lot of stores closed today in honor of Easter. There'll be a lot of people who'll be celebrating Easter and they don't even know why. And how many eggs have been blown up around? It's amazing. We have a world that wants to substitute a bunny rabbit, but it is Jesus Christ that is at the heart of Easter. It is the resurrection of Jesus. He was resurrected forever and forever. And we should shout for joy over the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ultimate victory over death. That ought to be a shouting joy for all of us. We ought to recognize we do have the right to shout for joy because we will overcome the grave. This isn't final. God says when it's final. So we look at this. Victory in Jesus. Well, exactly what does that victory mean? Victory, first of all, means victory in Jesus over sin. Have you ever thought about how bad sin is? What a tragedy sin is? You know how bad sin is? The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If that isn't something that just pulls your hair out as you think about it, it is literally sin that there is a terrible penalty for. Have you ever been penalized for something that you didn't like? I have a brother that loved to play basketball. He was a big brute, and he could handle them. But there was one time that he was playing a game, and there was one player that was just fouling him and pushing him around, shoving him, and really giving him fits. So my brother decided, I will take care of this. I will take care of this. And with the newspaper there taking pictures, my brother decided that he was going to take a knee and push that guy out of bounds. And not gently. He didn't just shove him. He booted him. And he got his picture made right in the middle of it. And guess what? He went to the shower. It was over for him. There was a penalty to be paid. There are plenty of things that we do in life for which there are penalties. Are you working on your income tax yet? Somewhere there's going to be penalties, aren't there? It's so serious that I have to fire, I guess I have a legion of people that help me make. Oh, I have a lady that knows how to do the taxes. She keeps me out of trouble because there are penalties. And she'll warn me, you're going to get a penalty for that if you're not careful. What about a penalty at home? Did you ever have a penalty at home? I don't know how many times I had a penalty at home. And I told you about Miss Huff, only that wasn't what we called her. The principal at Willard Elementary School. I remember when she pulled me up over her lap and gave me a penalty. And by the time I got home, it was all over the neighborhood. And I got more penalties when I got home. You know, it was just terrible. Everybody wanted to beat on poor little Skip because I had penalties coming to me. And it was well deserved. I promise you. I wanted to deny that, but couldn't do it. I couldn't get out of it. Penalties are just penalties. And the penalty of sin is death. Now, we're looking at this. We win with Jesus. And it is over the penalty of sin. In other words, he negates the effects of our penalty of death. That is how serious sin is. There's a second idea that you need to look at when you're talking about victory in Jesus over sin. What about over the power of sin? Have you thought how powerful sin is? Sometimes when you get in the closet, when you get in the dark, you start remembering how horrible it is. And so we recognize that sin has power over a lot of people. It's kind of amazing how many different ways you can have addiction taken care of, how many ways you can have this or that or something else taken care of. Because we are in a society that is rampant with sin, but it always has been. Sin is sin. And we look at that, and it has power over us. And you find in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." God is working in your life for his good pleasure. And so when you look at sin and realize that it has power over so many people's lives, over all of us, none of us are exempt from that. We're human. We're sinful. And I'm grateful that the shed blood of Jesus Christ does have power. And that it covers over our sins. And it delivers us from the power of sin. It is amazing how you can be delivered from the power of sin. Where it will break a sin that has a hold on you. It will keep it from shattering your life. I had a couple of many years ago that had been married, and they had, I don't know how many kids they had. They had a bunch. They'd been married for a very long time. But there was a sin from way back at the beginning that reared its ugly head and destroyed their marriage. A sin from way back in the past. Sin is powerful, but one thing that we can know is that Jesus can deliver us from the power of sin. We don't have to succumb to it. You know the really nice part? That whenever we look at this victory in Jesus over sin, it is also over the presence of sin. You know, one of our problems is that in this life, there's always sin around us. But when we get where God's destination for us is, there won't be any. Delivering from the presence of sin. So Christ, also having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time to those who eagerly await him. There's something to be said about the fact that we want to honor God. We want to please God. Well, the thing that is most important to realize is that when we get to heaven, we will be separated from sin. And we won't be in the presence of sin. There won't be any outside influence that says, oh, you've just got to do this. And the devil will be in check. Total check. And so you and I recognize that there is the presence of sin that we will not have to remain in. That is a powerful statement. Victory in Jesus over sin. That's what Easter's about. That we have a promise that he is coming again. And there will be a delivery from this place to that. And there won't be any sin to drag us down. There's a second thing that we need to recognize when we say victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus over suffering. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10, he had a thorn in the flesh. Now, do you know what a thorn in the flesh is? I don't either. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. I know what the speculation says. He couldn't see. He couldn't walk. His health was broken. And he said, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that God would take that thorn of the thorn in my flesh, take it away. And God said no. That is amazing, isn't it? God said no. We have a tendency, you know, if we had all the thorns taken out of our lives, we would have a tendency of trying to be so proud that we wouldn't give God the glory for anything. Paul carried on his ministry and his mission and all of his life with a thorn in the flesh, whatever that thorn was. And boy, I always enjoyed the classes where you get together and everybody would try to figure out what that was, and nobody knows. Paul knew. Paul knew because it was something that was dragging him down. But the point was being made, Paul, this is there to keep you humble so that it won't be you doing the work, but it'll be me doing the work. And I find that very, very difficult to understand. But yet, there it is. We do have a sense of pride. And so, we all have something wrong. Everybody here has something wrong. You know, I have two physicians in my family and two occupational, one occupational therapist and one physical therapist, and when we get to heaven, they won't have anything to do. I told them, they're not really building for the future, are they? There's nothing to do there. I said, well, maybe God will give you a special place where you can run some kind of clinic. Because that's what they're used to doing. But you look at it and realize, this world is hard. It's hard for every one of us. We all have something. Sooner or later, we are going to have something. And the truth is, a lot of people think, and there's a lot of preachers that would like to make you think, that when you get saved, you're not going to have any more trouble. That's your landing. No. No. I'll guarantee you. This week, I didn't have the funeral, but I attended it. A lady that was married to a man who served with me for about 10 or 12 years in Sanger on staff. She was a wonderful lady. She was a good lady, had a good family. But for 3 years now, she hasn't known her children. She hasn't known anybody, and I'll tell you, it was not just her, but the whole family walked through that. And her husband told me after the funeral, said, you know, 2 weeks ago, I had the best conversation with her that I've had in 3 years. I tell you, it's common. There's plenty of issues that we will fight, that we will have. There's disappointment, there's suffering, there is defeat. Sometimes we are defeated. But what we need to realize is that it's not up to us, it's up to God. And He will carry us through, and His will is the one that matters. And we need to be faithful and keep going. You know, we love the song Victory in Jesus, don't we? Gene Bartlett wrote that. He was in Tulsa. And he wrote a wonderful song that I tell you, we love to sing. And it'll be around forever. His son, Gene Bartlett also, he was a junior, he was a son, was also a songwriter and a state music guy in Oklahoma. Was very, very good with all sorts of music, and he's got music in the hymnal. But he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And you know, he wrote a song, and it's not in our hymn book. I just think that it should be. It's entitled, God's Grace is Enough for Me. And we walked for weeks as his health declined. And as he was set free, that tragedy was turned into triumph, because he made it very clear, live or die, I serve Jesus. Well or not well, I serve Jesus. Problems or no problems, I serve Jesus. His grace is enough for me. His grace is enough for all of us. And if we do that, we're going to find out that we will turn tragedy into victory. Because that's God's way. Third thing is, we'll have victory over death itself. We looked at that last week. The last enemy, it says, the very last enemy will be put under his feet. Foot. It will be abolished. The last enemy is death. And that Sunday morning, when all the folk came running up to the place where they thought Jesus was buried, walked up and the stone was rolled away and he wasn't there. But it wasn't long till they figured it out. He was alive. That is the first fruit. That is the victory over death. He put death to death. He destroyed its power. He delivered his people from fear and the power of death. I remember a wonderful woman that I knew well, and she was somebody that we ministered to a lot because of her life. She had a disease that if she didn't have constant transfusion, she was not going to live. She was that way, and she wanted to hang on to life as long as she could. But I remember the day when she said, "Pastor, I'm going to quit taking my transfusions." And you know what? 3 days, how long she lived. But for her, it was victory. Because death is coming, but there was victory over that because of today, of Easter. And she believed in Easter. She believed in the resurrection. And she knew that if she slipped out of this life, she'll be more alive there than she ever has been here. And she won't need a doctor anymore. Victory over Satan. Whenever you look at what this victory over death is, it's victory over Satan. The very devil wants to come and get you, and you need to have the devil scared out of you. Because he knows you better than you know yourself sometimes. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how to get in and to do whatever it is. But this day tells us we're having victory over Satan, sin, death, and the grave. Period. And we need to recognize that, and we need to hear it. Victory in Jesus. Absolutely. Fourth point. Victory in Jesus, we no longer have to live in fear. Period. You know, it is fearful. Life can be very fearful. But we don't have to live in fear. We can be set free. We can find that life is much more than that. We can overcome our fears. We can recognize that His love outlasts our stubbornness. His love will outlast our sin. His love will outlast all of the conflicts in our lives. And His peace, the peace that He gives, is greater than any of our conflicts. His hope, the hope that He gives us, erases our hopelessness. And His promises overcomes our doubts. I'm grateful today that we have victory in Jesus. And that victory is based on His resurrection. And I would draw this conclusion. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. Hear that again. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen today. Hallelujah. Our life can have deep personal meaning through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It may be that today you need to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. God speaks to you, and you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or it may be that God speaks to you and you need to join this church. You may need to repent, or you come up here and ask forgiveness from God. It may be that you have other decisions that you need to make today, whatever those decisions are. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing Trust and Obey.